Well, today I wanted to talk about the advantage of being a Christian. Something that I don't know if we actually think about that a whole lot, but we should. That there are, in other words, if I phrase this as the advantage, that you have the advantage that is over and above people that are not Christian, that with being a Christian comes the upper hand, the advantage. And the word advantage means a superior position, a superior or favorable position. It means to favor someone, a circumstance or factor that places somebody in a favorable position in relation to others. So if you were in a room gathered with 1,000 people and 10 were Christian, those 10 would be in a favorable position over and above others. We understand that. But I think sometimes we miss the advantage of being a Christian because we're not looking for it. You know, we're just not really focused on that very much. We go through the day oblivious to all of the many advantages that we have of being a Christian. Now, how is that? How could we do something like that? Well, it's very simple. The world is a very powerful downward pull that we have. Often I can get depressed if I watch the news, if I watch many commentaries out there that talk, and if I like them, but if I listen to them a lot, I will get depressed. It's not that I disagree with them. It's not that I think they're wrong. I think they're right. But what they're saying, the message is, it's very depressing. And so the world has that downward pull upon us. And unless you are on a day-to-day, moment-by-moment awareness of the advantages of being a Christian, I think we'll miss it. We'll miss all of the many different things. You know, it was an angel that said to Mary, said, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I wonder if there wasn't a time when God called you, or the day that God called you, that God said, "From this point forward, you have my favor. You're going to be a favorite child of mine from the day that God called you onward." The advantage, the Christian advantage. Speaking of our Savior, it will say, "He increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." It's a fascinating scripture. I mean, he was in favor with his Father and with men. Now, that he sort of lost that favor toward the end of his ministry, but you know why. But he still had favor with both people that actually really loved him. Favor with God and favor with man, the advantage, the upper hand, the high ground. You know, our success depends on this. What success? Any success, be it financial, be it at work, be it spiritual success, it depends on our favor, the advantage, the upper hand, the higher ground that we have. There is a part in the movie, Angels in the Outfield. I love that movie. But Danny Glover plays a coach, and there's this one guy that he never puts on the field. I think it's baseball, but he sits on the bench, and all of a sudden he decides, little boy tells him to put him on there, and he decides, okay, this guy's been sitting on the bench, I'm going to play him now. And he's being interviewed, and the guy interviewing him says, "Well, what made you decide to get old so-and-so up there?" And Glover says, "I look for signs, and sometimes they come from unexpected places." And I want us to think of the advantage, the upper hand, the higher ground, the favor of God. You got to look for it, and sometimes it comes in unexpected places. But you got to be aware of that. Sometimes it's right under our nose, and we don't even see it, or we take it for granted, the favor, the advantage that we have. And I hope with this message that you'll be able to identify the Christian advantage, the upper hand, the higher ground, the favor of God. First place I want to begin is to turn to Romans 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28 in your Bible. Sort of a familiar scripture that gives us comfort, and hopefully even more so as we look at it again. Romans 8 and verse 28. Says this. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." In other words, there will be the advantage in everything that comes your way. Now you might think, well, wait a minute. We know that everything that comes into our lives is not always good. Is it not? I mean, we can say, well, wait a minute, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. Everything that, you know, how can you say this is to the advantage? Now, I didn't say finding the advantage would be easy. I'm just saying it's there. Whatever comes, all things work together for good. It's not going to be easy. In other words, when, there was a story about a guy that he had the motto, whatever came into his life, he would say, this is good. It didn't matter what it was. It could be something horrendous, you know, something we would say, but he would always have this little phrase, this is good. And that was his attitude. Greg talked about attitude. This is good. In other words, whatever is in your life, whatever you're struggling with, what is the advantage? What is the upper hand? What is the higher ground you can take? What is the favor of God that you can find in your life? Well, whatever you're going through, do we think about that? Do we, on a regular basis, when we're going through something? You know, I think of temptations. There's a verse that says, "There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but with the temptation also will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Now, you know, temptations is sort of, it's a strange thing. We think we're doing good if we resist for 5 minutes and then yield to it. We think, wow, man, I went through that for 5 minutes now. I'm doing good, Lord. But what makes Christ, you know, our Savior is that, you know, He never yielded to the temptation. He didn't just resist for 5 minutes and then give over. He never gave over to it. Now that's big. That's heavy stuff when you think about it. I mean, that's awesome when you think about it. But in the temptation, you know, the advantage is there's a way to escape that God provides. There's an upper hand. There's a higher ground. There's the favor of God. And you don't always see that just like that very quickly. Sometimes you have to carry through or persevere through that. So we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. So what am I saying? What does this mean? Well, here's what I'm trying to say. Come hell or high water or both, there is the Christian advantage to everything you face in life. The upper hand, the high ground, the favor of God. And we've got to seek it out, search it out, look for it, try to find it. Okay, the Christian advantage. Just went through one. All things work together for good. Second one I want to talk about is Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. This is an incredible advantage that the Christian has. Probably the most important advantage that we have. The Christian advantage. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says this. It says, "For by grace are you saved." Notice that. By grace are you saved. "Through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." You know, God is creating something great within us. He's creating character within. and we're referred to as a good work. But sin cannot separate us from the Christian advantage, because you will be saved by grace. So we got to understand this as we struggle, as we go to the throne of God and ask for forgiveness, that we have this advantage. Remember I said that the word means advantage, means to favor someone, a circumstance or factor that places someone in a favorable position. Think about this. Christians are the only people on earth that can sufficiently deal with a guilty conscience. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that think they can deal with it. They try to deal with it. They deal with it in their own way. I one time talked about the release process or pro, I forget what it's called, the release technique. And that's sort of, you can sort of maybe release certain things and maybe forgive yourself. But when you think about it, of all people out here, Christians are the only one that can sufficiently deal with a guilty conscience because of God's grace. That's powerful. You're in a room of 5,000 people. Let's say you're the only Christian there. The other cannot deal with a guilty conscience. Not the right way. Only a Christian. This is an advantage. Another advantage is victory over evil. Because of the scripture, and I didn't write it down, but it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Victory over evil. And evil, you know, we can take that for the influence of evil. Sometimes you don't realize the influence of evil until you hear a story like the one I heard. I was on the internet one day, and it was a top news story. A woman in California. I know we can say that's the land of fruits and the nuts, but you know, you expect this kind of stuff. But she was a doctor woman, and she was, I think, having an affair, and she tried to break into her boyfriend's home with a shovel. And this is a doctor, by the way. Couldn't get in with the shovel. Why, I don't know, but climbed up on the chimney and slid down the chimney and got hung in the chimney. Well, the sitters of the home came in several days later, and they smelt this foul stench, and they saw some fluids leaking from the fireplace. She died in the chimney. I mean, so when we talk about the influence of evil that's around us and the fact that we can avoid that, you know, whatever it was, whether it was rage, jealousy, I don't know what's going on in her mind, but that's close to insanity for me. That would cause a person in that kind of emotional, I don't know what you call it, to try something like that. I mean, I think I'll slide down the chimney and try to get inside the home. It's you know, but we're talking about a force that is out there called evil. And we can look at it and think, well, that's crazy. But if it were not for the grace of God, we would fit into that same insanity that people do. The Christian advantage. Another one is Proverbs 3 and verse 1, the Christian advantage. It says, my son, forget not my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart. So shall you find favor. Favor. The advantage and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Notice there's that little expression. Favor with God and with man. The advantage. The advantage of God's Ten Commandments. And it's a shame, you know, we're talking about that story of the school board, Giles County School Board, putting the Ten Commandments back up. And there was an organization, Freedom From Religion, was the organization, the foundation that threatened them and said, this is unconstitutional, you need to take these things down. That was the organization that did that. But it's crazy when people don't understand the goodness of God's law. I mean, I wrote, I'll read you what I put in there, just my 2 cents worth. But I said, how does a plaque on a wall that reminds our children that they should honor their parents, not steal, not kill, be faithful in marriage, how does this violate the Constitution? Where does our Constitution say that we shouldn't have any morals or be reminded of our morality? Who is this Freedom From Religion Foundation? Does this mean freedom from any morals? Freedom from any internal restraints? Do we really want a society, school, without any internal restraints or morals? Well, no, we don't. But to not realize God's law and the goodness that it produces. The Christian advantage is the law of God. Think about it. Think about what a blessing God's law is. I mean, do I really want to be like the dysfunctional family down the street? You know. Well, no, I don't want to be like them. Are there people that watch, let's say, Jerry Springer and say, I want to be just like them when I grow up, you know, the nitwits on TV that they bring in there? Well, I don't think so. I mean, do I envy the man who just lost his life divorce? Do I envy him because he's just, you know, he was unfaithful? No. Do I envy the liar, the thief, the murderer, the prison inmate? Well, of course not. The guy that was on TV that stole people's retirement. I can't think of his name, but millions of, what was his name? Yeah. I mean, you think about that. Here are old people losing their retirement to this man that stole it. Well, no, I mean, you know, the Christian advantage of God's law is such a blessing. God says, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made and blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because he had rested from all his work which God had created and made. You know, to be a part of something that God has blessed, that God has set apart, that God has sanctified. And it's, you know, the Sabbath is something you can take advantage of or not. A lot of people don't. You know, they thumb their nose up at the Sabbath day. They say, you know, whatever they may say, but it's an incredible blessing. I know it is for me because, you know, you unplug yourself like an overloaded receptacle. You see that sometimes people plug in six things into a receptacle, six cords, you know, just, it's overload. And so to cut that off and to be able to rest and refresh your mind and your spirit, Ezekiel 20 and verse 19 will say, I am the Lord your God. Live by my laws, obey my rules, and follow them. Set apart certain holy days. I'm reading from God's Word translation. Set aside certain holy days to worship me. This will be a sign between me and you, and you, so that you will know that I am the Lord your God. Where would I be without God's holy days? I tell you where I think I would be. I would probably be, if I were religious, I would be trying to figure out, like a lot of good people, how to put Christ back into Christmas. You know what I mean? A lot of people try to figure that out. And I was at the post office, and a woman asked me about Christmas, and I said, well, no, I don't celebrate Christmas. And I said, well, it's not because I don't believe in Jesus. And she said, oh, I understand. I said, it's gone. I said, it's crazy, the materialism, the materialistic insanity of Christ. He said, I understand. It's just gone off the deep end. But that's probably where I would be without God's annual holy day, trying to figure out how to put Christ into Christmas, or trying to figure out how to, you know, how that Easter bunny climbed that tree and put the eggs up there, you know, whatever. trying to figure out all of this. But the meaning and purpose of life, the plan God has for saving humanity, the understanding who God really is, the advantage of God's annual holy days. Advantage, the Christian advantage. Another one, advantage that I think we can easily overlook. It's found in Exodus 12 and verse 36. A little story that's going on of what happened when Israel left Egypt. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. the advantage in dealing with others, the favor in when we deal with other people, that God can work through other people to bless you, the favor that can be there. You know, it's not just my great selling ability. It's not just my charisma. It's not just my style. The things that, you know, it's not just that this worked out for the good. It is the advantage that you have, the upper hand, the higher ground, the favor of God that's working in your life. Another advantage is found in, I'm going through these sort of fast, but I'll give you the reference here. Psalms 18 and verse 22 says this: whosoever finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. A good wife, a good husband, whatever. And you think about that, you think, okay, a lot of people have not found that. 50% of marriages will end in a divorce. You know, you ever thought about that? Maybe it was the favor of the Lord that led you to your wife, to your husband. You ever thought about that? That was the favor of God that led you there in the first place. It's a fascinating concept when you think about it. You have the advantage. You have the advantage. In Psalms 5 and verse 12, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "For you, O Jehovah, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." God's favor, God's advantage in your personal life. The advantage of being a Christian. The advantage of a good marriage. The advantage of dealing with others. The advantage of understanding God's law and His wisdom and knowledge and Sabbath rest and holy days. The advantage of a clear conscience. The advantage of knowing that all things will work to your advantage. And then, you know, I guess I shouldn't leave this out. Another advantage is, not that we want to talk about it or think about it, but the advantage that will come to all of us one day of facing death. I mean, think about it. Or maybe you don't want to think about it. But, you know, the Bible says the outward man perishes daily. Well, that's a fact. You know, you can look at yourself in the mirror and realize that. But the inward man is renewed day by day. And it is the inward man, the character that's being developed, the spirit in man that unites with the spirit of God. This is what's going to be resurrected and given a new body. You know, that's got to be important. I know as a teenager it's probably not important. And, you know, my age, I'm middle age, so, but it will all become more important. I can guarantee you. The advantage. I mean, imagine being an atheist and thinking, what happens when an atheist dies? What is their hope? You know, I'm not sure what the answer to that question is. Why do atheists celebrate Christmas? That's another one I can't figure out. Why did the kamikaze pilots wear helmets, you know? There's a lot of unanswered questions here. It seems like they throw the helmet away. I'm going down. Psalms 14, verse 2, it says, I want to conclude with this scripture, Psalms 14, verse 2. Because it is important, the advantages of being a Christian. I think we, again, I want to encourage you. You know, when things are good, we can talk about all the advantages of being a Christian when things are good. But what about when things come into your life, trials, temptations? Do we switch that frame of mind and say, okay, what is the advantage here? What is the upper hand? What is the higher ground here? What is the favor of God as I'm going through this right now to look for it? Psalms 14 verse 2 says, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." And what I'm asking you to seek is these things, the advantages of being a Christian, and to look for them. Often we miss the advantage of being a Christian because we're not looking for it. Often we go through the day oblivious to the advantages of being a Christian. So seek it out. Look for it. Never forget the advantage, the upper hand, the high ground that we all have through Jesus Christ.